From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies of the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message entitled, The Person and Work of Christ is the Very Substance of the Gospel. We live in an age when there's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about the gospel. On the one hand, there are preachers who emphasize only the death of Christ to the exclusion of his earthly life and what that means for his people. Then there are those who proclaim a message designed to make their listeners feel good about themselves, completely ignoring the need to address the claims of God's law and the terrible fate that awaits sinners who die without repentance and faith in Christ. Considering the eternal implications for immortal souls, it's imperative that men and women have a clear and accurate understanding of the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, The Person and Work of Christ, the Very Substance of the Gospel of Saving Grace. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is Remind God of His Promise. The text is Genesis 32 and verse 12. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. This is the sure way of prevailing with the Lord in prayer. We may humbly remind Him of what He has said. Our faithful God will never run back from His word, nor will He leave it unfulfilled. Yet He loves to be inquired of by His people, and put in mind of His promise. This is refreshing to their memories, reviving to their faith, and renewing to their hope. God's word is given not for His sake, but for ours. His purposes are settled, and He needs nothing to bind Him to His design of doing His people good. But He gives the promise for our strengthening and comfort. Hence, He wishes us to plead it, and say to Him, Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good is just the essence of all the Lord's gracious sayings. Lay a special stress on the word surely. He will do us good, real good, lasting good, only good, every good. He will make us good, and this is to do us good in the very highest degree. He will treat us as He does His saints while we are here, and that is good. He will soon take us to be with Jesus and all His chosen, and that is supremely good. With this promise in our hearts, we need not fear angry Esau nor anyone else. If the Lord will do us good, who can do us hurt?
Thank you.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
I would certainly recommend you learn the great prayer of Paul for the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. And he has three things that he wants them to know from God. He wants God to teach them. That ye may know what, and what. The three whats. I better not start them, otherwise you will be here. But the third one, what? He's talking now about the exceeding greatness of God's power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And raised him up and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and every name that's named. And he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There is Christ risen by the power of his resurrection to the right hand of God. We read in Philippians 2 how he went down from the heights of glory to the depths of shame, even the death of the cross. But verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. So on through the New Testament, Christ exalted. But here's the thing. What does he do with all this power? What does he do? This perplexes a lot of people. He's at the right hand of God. He's in the place of power. But we still had our Caesars long after Christ. We have had the Ottoman Empire overrun Christendom and keep Europe in darkness and under the heel of tyranny for 500 years. On the overthrow of the Ottomans, which didn't take place until 1918, by the way, but on the overthrow of the Turks and the Ottomans, we had all the colossal horrors of the 20th century. We had Kaiser Wilhelm. We had Hitler. We had Mussolini. And we look today, and the world's in as big a mess as ever. Remember the political nonsense we were hearing a few years ago about the peace dividend. Wars were over. Cold War was over. America had won it. Russia's gone. We now have a peace dividend. Well, we do, only it's P-I-E-C-E. The world's in bits. How can Christ be reigning? As I said this morning, the old Scottish theologians distinguished the kingdom of grace from the kingdom of government and the kingdom of glory. Christ is head over all things to the church, and at this time until his coming, he is working out his grace by the power of his Holy Spirit, working his purpose to the saving of his people, to the completing of his church. Bless God, Pentecost was the fruit of Christ's death and resurrection. Every great revival ever since, every movement of the Spirit, every conversion of the soul, every sanctifying grace, every subjugation of lust and sin, every victory over Satan, Christ is working with power in his people and working through his people, to whom he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But this resurrection and exaltation, this is the most difficult thing of all, are according to the Spirit of Holiness, in accord with the Spirit of Holiness. I'm not going to take time to give you all the notions that people have about this. Some say it's the Holy Spirit. That was the ancient belief, and many moderns believe that as well. That would be the easy way, but the Spirit of Holiness would be a unique way of referring to the Holy Spirit. It is nowhere else used in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit. I don't think it's the Holy Spirit that's being spoken of here. It's a resurrection of the dead, not from the dead. In other words, the resurrecting, the raising, the rising is active, not passive. It's Christ doing the rising, not the Holy Spirit doing the raising. And also to me it would be very strange to make the Holy Ghost the parallel to Christ's flesh. Doesn't make sense. Others say it's the divine nature of Christ. He was declared to be a man after his human nature. He's declared to be the Son of God with power after his divine nature. That sounds all very good. Can't say I like it. For one very simple reason. Remember what I said earlier? Jesus Christ took flesh, spirit, soul, and body. We must guard that, for that's his true humanity. But if we say, according to the flesh, that's Christ's humanity, according to the spirit, that is Christ's deity, that comes dangerously close to what is known in historical theology as Apollinarianism. That comes dangerously close to the heresy that says that the divine spirit replaced the human spirit in Jesus Christ, so that while he is flesh, his spirit is divine. But that detracts from his humanity, and if he is not totally and completely man, we have no Savior. So I'm not very keen on that interpretation. But you know, there's a beautifully simple and absolutely consistent way of seeing this. It goes right along with Paul's overall teaching. Remember what Paul's teaching, that Christ's resurrection and exaltation are the result and the reward of the Spirit of holiness. This is according to the Spirit of holiness. I believe that's the Spirit of his own holy obedience unto God. Now that's a doctrine that Paul preaches constantly. We've already looked at Philippians 2. Why did God exalt him? Because he made himself obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus prayed in John 17 that God would raise him and exalt him because of his obedience. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me. And in the resurrection, God answered that. In Hebrews 2:9, Paul tells us explicitly, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Notice the force. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor on account of his suffering unto death. Now we come to the gospel. Christ earned his resurrection. Christ earned his exaltation. He obeyed God in life. He obeyed God in death. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him. Because of that, he has the right now to exercise all the powers that belong to him as what Paul calls a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Peter says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this. Now this is what the gospel is all about. The Son of God became a man. He wrought a perfect obedience, even unto death, on account of which he rose again from the dead, and God appointed him to the place of power at his own right hand, from which position he exercises his right to redeem his people and to cover them with his righteousness, so investing them with the right to join him in glory. The gospel of God concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. May God give us eyes and hearts for Christ, I hope you get to know the gospel. I hope that you get to enjoy the gospel. There's nothing more thrilling than the knowledge that God, for Christ's sake, receives us, justifies us, and secures us for all eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. I trust indeed that you know Christ. Remember, He's God's only message for men. No other gospel, there's no other way. If you know Him not, the command is repent and believe the gospel. I trust you'll come by faith to Jesus. Come, and He will save you now. Father in heaven, bless the word of God, the word of the truth of the gospel. How we thank Thee that God has solved the problem of the ages. How God, the God of justice, truth, and holiness, can remain true to Himself and yet declare ungodly sinners righteous. We thank Thee that He does so by making His Son after the flesh to come in the line of David, to be born of a woman, be made under the law, to fulfill the law, to weave a robe of seamless righteousness, to pay the price for our redemption, to cover us with His blood and righteousness. Lord, we thank Thee that's God's way, and it's the only way. We thank Thee for all who are covered by Christ. God bless Thy people, and give them much confidence in the Savior. Remember those who are not saved, and save them, Lord, we pray. And grant that the preaching of the gospel will not be without effect upon them, but will lead them to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Part us with Thy blessing, and keep us in Thy fear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.